You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the China Shop. Folks, I'm Shopkeeper Dan. With me as always is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How are you doing today, Kyle?
Oh, doing good. No more Jersey Shore. Things have finally gone the right direction. Vengeance will soon be mine.
I don't know what you're talking about. Jersey Shore is a award-winning program that children should watch to learn life skills.
What not to do?
Yeah, right. Oh, folks, we're so glad you're here. Come on into the shop with us today. Sit back, relax, rage against the hedge machine. We'd love to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We are all here to smash our way into a complete set of fine china, sharing those ever-growing strategies for maximizing gains and cutting losses. I could be doing better on cutting my losses, but we'll get to that later in the show.
Always could do better.
Yeah, always, always. If you are new to the shop and stock trading in general, you can always check out our Knowledge Center on financialineptitude.com. We've got several beginning trading episodes and investing episodes there to give a listen to. We'll have links in the episode description. But our favorite place to be is definitely on the Discord server. Kyle and I get on there all the time, every day, posting charts, talking news. It's just a really awesome place to be. And Kyle, when they join that server, what should they do?
They should send us an email with the shipping or mailing address, and we can send them their choice now.
Ooh.
Smash it yourself mug or a get smashed yourself shot glass.
I got smashed in the shop.
Yes.
It's really fun on that server. We're really glad you're all here. It's a lot of fun and it's always better with friends. So good on you. You made the right choice. Keep on listening. We got a great show for you today. Kyle, what sort of show news we have happening? I know we just missed a change bridge. They had to postpone.
Yeah, still trying to get them rescheduled, waiting for them to get a resolution from their compliance department.
Yeah.
Coming up end of month, we've got George Papazov.
Yes, the return of Papa George.
And hopefully getting his theme song. Have you made some progress on that?
Oh, no, that is on it is my only thing on my to-do list for tomorrow.
Excellent.
I have the day off, and Jen's out of town, and I have nothing to do but work on that song, so it's happening.
Then after that, we've got Chris Mamula?
The retirement guru.
Yes, the person I should have spoken with before. Plunging off of into the deep end.
Before we start trying to pronounce his difficult name.
Well, yeah, that too. It's not that difficult.
Oh, yes, yes. You should have spoken to him before you left your job to be a full-time trader.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't retire yet. You're not retired. You're working a new job for yourself.
Yes. Kind of feels like retirement. It doesn't feel like work. It's the weirdest thing. Like, I never had that experience where they're just, like, excited for the day to start. Like, I actually don't really care for the weekends as much anymore, other than doing the show, which I still enjoy doing. But without the markets being open, it's like, I have no direction.
I'm so jealous. I've not been adjusting well to my new work life in terms of getting things done on trading and growing myself as a trader, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely have to make some adjustments. But we'll get to that when we talk about our trading and investments later in the episode. But for now, I'd like to let every wonderful, beautiful listener out there know we have got just such a glamorous, shining, mythical. No, these are all the same adjectives. Kyle, give me some new adjectives. What are the three things that this show is?
Wet. Encouraging.
Oh, yes. I like where we're going.
And throbbing.
A wet, encouraging, throbbing show for you folks.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting a little excited.
First Jersey Shore, now Mad Libs.
We got a lot of market moving news, plenty of stocks on the radar, and more options than a robot eating 01110000010001.
Yeah. I can't do ASCII conversions in my head.
Yeah, me neither. That one was for all the AI listeners.
All right. Okay, let's move on.
Trying to broaden the market base to include robots, Kyle.
Yeah, okay.
So folks, please, we love it. Just reach out to us. Your messages and comments on Twitter, Facebook, and Discord, they just make our day every time. If you're old school, you can send us an email, twobulls@financialineptitude.com. That's the number twobulls@financialineptitude.com. Or you can give us a phone call, 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you made. Maybe you were raised in a bomb shelter that your parents stuck you in
Nice. When
you were a kid because they thought the world blew up. And now you're out looking for a girlfriend, finding out that there's no nuclear apocalypse.
Who's the star of that? Brendan?
Brendan Fraser.
It was Fraser. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Capital of Alaska.
Okay. All right. Time to get some news going?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we all know why we're listening today. The shop is bursting with the week to replace. So sit back. We got some market affairs. Get some stories for the bulls and the bears. Clowns running companies. Laws change overnight. Here we are. It's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now it's time for China Shop News. What should we lead off with? There's so many good stories.
I mean, what's the most important one? Let's lead off with Robinhood.
Yeah, that was a big story, Robinhood IPO.
Yeah, which, you know, we're still not into it. I'm not planning on purchasing any of those shares. I don't think anybody really should either.
Yeah.
They are earmarking 20 to 35% of their IPO shares for their customers, which if it was anybody else, I would think that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Who still uses Robinhood? How many users do they still have?
I don't have the numbers. It can't be what it was.
I know there's still the number one, but man, I feel like people who are still on Robinhood are just stuck with them at this point.
Right? They don't have options.
Would you buy?
No, I would short. I might buy puts.
Yeah, it'd take a while before those actually come to the market, though.
I know. Apparently, in their IPO filing, they warned there's more than 50 lawsuits they're facing from when they stopped trading the GameStop shares in January.
Awesome. Apparently, the Reddit crowd is getting on there trying to boycott it.
Oh, yeah.
Problem is, there's going to be enough institutions that want a piece of this.
Oh, well, the order flow is profitable.
Yeah, it probably will do well. 18 million clients, that's how many.
And, you know, they can't make any assurances that they won't halt trading in the future and trigger more lawsuits.
Well, I think the joke was that it's... if you wanted to trade their shares, it's buy only. There's no sell.
that sounds about right.
I wouldn't be surprised. There's probably a lockup period, too, for anybody who joins that IPO. So I'm guessing that actually might not be too far from the truth.
Yeah.
They probably will do something with their shares that they're holding for their customers and say, hey, you can get them, but you can't sell them for three to 6 months.
Yeah. I guess there was some chatter on Reddit too about not shorting it,
mm-hmm.
Saying that when Citadel sees you shorting them, they'll buy and hold and bleed us dry.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, you'd just be giving them money to cover their shorts with.
You shouldn't be shorting anything anyway. It's just way too risky.
Yeah, buy a put. It's just buy a put. Don't.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't want to give any more free publicity to Robinhood. So let's, what were you saying about oil?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I've been following REI, Ring Energy. They're an oil company.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I went long at $3 a share because I saw an opportunity because they're right about to break a very important resistance. And then, their price was it's up to like 320 something on Thursday. I mean, it just made a 12% move in a day because of the price of oil and OPEC. We're going to be, you know, they mess with their supply. OPEC being the group of countries,
mm-hmm.
the organization's petroleum exporting countries and its allies.
Yeah, they're also called a cartel, which I thought had negative connotations.
Well, they are a cartel. Like, look what they're doing here. So the story was they appeared on track Thursday to approve a proposal that would further ease existing crude oil output curbs, meaning everybody can start producing more oil again. And this is how they operate as a cartel. Like, they all agree, like, hey, let's all stop producing so much oil and it'll drive the price up.
Yeah, it's called price fixing.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, it's international price fixing, and it's okay when countries do it together, but not okay when companies do it. That's OPEC. So, basically, story in a nutshell, OPEC is fighting about whether to ease the existing crude oil output curbs or not. The United Arab Emirates is objecting to that plan. When you dig deep, they're currently benefiting from the current setup.
Right.
Saudi Arabia wants to shift it, so Saudi Arabia benefits more. And yeah, it drove oil down Friday. So, like, almost all the gains I had on Thursday where I was like, I'm a genius!
Well, it still should be. I mean, what came out of that meeting was that they're raising production, but it's not enough to offset the increase in demand that's expected.
Yeah.
So oil should still be bullish as far as the scarcity of it driving the price up. I guess the main question for you is going to be whether any of these new COVID variants end up triggering another lockdown, because that's really going to be the main thing that's going to, that's the main risk I think that you have with that stock.
Yeah, and I set a stop loss at $2.70. So I'm not worried about big losses thanks to risk management.
Right.
But if it does turn around, I'm going to be looking for a new bottom to get back in on. As we know, utilities do very well in a bear market. And
utilities do, but I don't know that oil does.
I mean, it's technically the company's classified as a utilities company, so am I just being naive?
Yeah, it's a little different, though, because, like, you're thinking of when a market's a bear market and people are buying more of those stocks are driving the value. The reason why the value of those stocks goes up is because they're essential things. People have to spend money on them. The thing that causes the gas prices to fluctuate so much is travel, right? So, like, in summer months, typically gas prices spike because there's a lot more demand for it because everyone's taking their summer vacations. Mm-hmm. But if people are cutting out those vacations, that's going to put a big dent in the demand. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Hopefully I'll get out before then.
I would just say, I'm not sure that it necessarily follows the same, but I guess that'd be a good question to ask George when we have him on. He does specialize in trading those futures.
He does. And I found it through a stock trainer. I found it through a stock screener screening for utility stocks. So I didn't even question whether it was a utility. I was like, oh yeah, oil, utilities, makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that falls into there. I just would be a little, I mean, there is a certain baseline that everyone has to purchase as far as gas for travel and natural gas for heating. They do have a lot of natural gas exploration too, so that may be the arm that saves it.
I don't know. You make a really good point about, like, people traveling less, and it does drive the demand down. So
yeah, the question is how much of the demand is tied to gas, because as we know, gas is not exactly the all-encompassing reason to refine oil, right? You got plenty of plastics and other things that are just as important. So if they're using those to make, you know, like nylon or rayon fabrics for clothing, then, you know, people still need clothes. They're still going to buy clothing.
That's true.
So yeah, I could see it going either way. I would probably do a little more research on that.
No, I definitely want to get George's opinion on
me too. Because now I'm really curious.
Cycle shifts and what all constitutes utility stocks.
Let's see, what else do we got? Oh, did you see that Virgin Galactic has announced their test flight?
I saw something with their stock moving really funny, like.
It went really high, and then it kind of just deflated.
Really high.
Which, you know, my that vertical call spread I bought, I was like, yes, this is going to do well. And then it just started falling after that. Like, no, this is not doing well. they announced the flight on January 11th, and that is going to be with the full four-person crew flying, including Richard Branson. So Richard Branson is aiming to get to space before Jeff Bezos.
Oh, shit.
And like we speculated before, by doing it on the 11th, that in case something scrubs that mission, that gives them another week to make sure that they get it, you know, launched.
Yeah.
Because I think Bezos is, I think his flight is scheduled for July 20th.
I don't know the specific dates, but I'm glad Branson is beating him.
Yeah, I am too. I think he's a much better billionaire to root for. Branson was given an interview, and I think in part of that interview he was quoted as saying that there's room for 20 space tourism companies, according to his estimates.
Wow.
And obviously the more, you know, competition, then the cheaper it gets. So I think that makes a really good poll question. We didn't have one last week, but I think the question we should ask everybody out there is, you know, at what price does that become attractive to you? Or would you take a flight up to space just to see it and experience it?
Yeah.
You know, less than 1,000, 1,000 to 10,000, 10,000 to 100,000, or you don't care about the price, you're going.
You're terrified of space flight. Yeah, if you're terrified of space flight, don't answer the poll or comment.
Yeah, you might as well just not vote. Yeah.
Comment, it's not fuck for you.
It's okay.
I definitely, if the price was under $1,000, I'd be up there in a heartbeat. I'd make that shit happen.
No question. Come on. I think even 10 grand, I might seriously consider it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't think I'd be taking the wife, though, with that price. Which is good, because I don't think she'd want to go. Oh, boy. Yeah, I think that makes a good poll question. Let's put that one out there. What else you got, Dan?
I was looking at General Motors just made a big deal to source lithium for their next generation EV batteries in the U.S.
Oh, nice. How's their stock doing?
It's their stock's doing really good from July last year till now. It's doing just fine.
Yeah, it seems to be doing pretty nice.
Yeah, so they announced a strategic investment and commercial collaboration with a company called Controlled Thermal Resources to secure their lithium in the U.S. for the development of its batteries. Apparently, most of the lithium for the batteries is sourced from outside the U.S. So this is significant.
Yes,
because General Motors is like, yeah, we're going domestic with our lithium production.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's in South America.
Yeah,
which I was actually kind of surprised. Yeah.
The cool thing about this company, Controlled Thermal Resources, is they're like, I went on their company site to look around and I was like, I want to know a little bit more about this company. They're using geothermal power plants to mine their lithium and produce their batteries.
Oh, that's cool.
Right?
Yeah.
I thought that was really awesome. Like if you're producing anything on an industrial scale, not having to buy the electricity.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of amazing.
I always like geothermal too.
GM they begun their battery project in 2019 with working with LG Chem. So they've got a big gigafactory in Ohio, and their joint venture with LG led to a second factory for battery manufacturing in Tennessee. So, like, GM is going EV, and apparently they're going domestic with a lot of these companies.
I was looking to see if LG was a stock, and I can't find it.
So GM looking to shorten its lithium supply chain.
And so that's for their next-gen batteries, too, right?
Yeah, yeah, these are next-gen lithium prototype batteries.
Are they going to be less combustible?
You know, I don't know. It did not, General Motors in their press release did not mention exploding batteries, believe it or not.
I don't know if you saw, there was a Model S that burst into flames in Pennsylvania, I think, over this last...
Oh, a Tesla?
Yeah, this was the Model S. This was the expensive version. And looking at the pictures, because I've been seeing them pop up on Twitter every now and then, I think the more expensive the car, the bigger fire you get. That looked ridiculous.
Holy shit, I just pulled up a picture of it.
Yeah,
I think exploded is a more accurate description. Holy shit.
Thank God that guy got out of the car. He was briefly trapped in there, but he's able to make it out before that happened.
Wow. Do they know what caused the fire?
The lawyer said the vehicle spontaneously combusted.
Jesus. She's just driving it and...
I was doing a look because the article that we have here kind of talks about some of the improvements Tesla's made because they have had, they get a lot of publicity on their fires, let's say. It's not necessarily that they explode more often. Mm. There's actually no evidence that EVs catch fire at a rate that's any different than internal combustion cars. Yeah, but let's see. So Tesla, what have they done? So they made a software update to 2013 that made the Model S ride higher at highway speeds. That was to lower the chance of debris puncturing the battery pack. Then they added more physical protection to new packs coming off of the line. And then also a software update in 2016 to provide extra security during charging after another Model S caught fire in Norway.
Oh, so like when you're driving at faster speeds, the car will lift up off the ground to try and be less likely to have road debris puncture the battery?
I'm guessing it has a suspension that you can raise or lower. Some of the more expensive cars allow you to get lower to the ground, because the lower you are, the better it is for, like, sports cars. But yeah, they probably lifted it up so that way, like, shit on the road, you know, you run over stuff and it rattles in your undercarriage. By lifting it up, they're just trying to give it a little more space to try to keep that debris from puncturing the battery pan.
Yeah, shit I don't think about.
Yeah, so Tesla fires don't happen as often as everyone seems to think, but they definitely get a lot more publicity.
Yeah.
Because they're new and shiny, and I guess just anything that's Tesla gets views, so it's probably one of those things where if you don't want to see those stories so often, stop clicking on them. You know, a gas car catching on fire is not exciting. A expensive electric vehicle bursting into flames is.
Oh, yeah. Big.
That's really what it boils down to.
Big national news story. Something to talk about.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, and it's Lordstown that's getting the DOJ and SEC probes.
Yeah, we have time for that. What was going on there?
Since we're just so EV heavy this episode, I figured why not throw another one on.
It seems like it is, huh?
Throw another one on the stack. Well, apparently you have to make your vehicles before they catch on fire to get splashy news stories.
Yeah. Normally you make them before you sell them too.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've been following this for a little bit. The big scandal that the short report, was it Hindenburg, came out with?
Right.
It said that their sale orders were fake. Yeah, apparently the SEC is looking into that, and nobody knows what the Department of Justice is examining.
Huh.
But the U.S. Attorney's Office leading the investigation often handles fraud allegations, so they may actually have criminal liability for these pre-orders that they counted as, well, they weren't pre-orders. What they claim were pre-orders and were just gauges of interest.
That should make some of our Discord users happy, the ones who have been stuck in that stock, hoping to God that there's some consequences for these assholes.
Well, that CEO and CFO that stepped down, sounds like they may see some jail time.
Good. Needs to happen more often.
What do you mean you can't just pretend you sold a bunch of stuff and tell your investors about it?
You got anything else for news, Dan, or does that pretty much wrap it up?
I got a couple of crypto stories, but I thought we could talk about those later.
Probably in the crypto corner where they belong?
Yeah, that sounds good. It's a good thought, Kyle.
Yeah. All right, let's do that. All right.
Well, before we move on, I love to take these moments to let everybody know that Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender, Kyle. They lend to all houses equally. That's what that means.
Is that what that means?
Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She's got over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners purchasing, refinancing, even reverse mortgages. Look, Sue can help. You got if anything mortgage related, you got to reach out to her. She is your lady. Licensed in 26 states and growing. See what she can do for you. Best way to reach her is to just give her a call, 520-977-7904. Or you can create an email, an electronic mail, for those of you who haven't heard of it. spullen@fairwaymc.com, S-P-U-L-L-E-N at fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number of 206048. That email again is spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Reach out to Sue for all your mortgage needs. See what she can do for you.
And one more.
What are you talking about, one more?
TradePro.
Who the fuck is TradePro?
Oh, you're too big for them now?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Finally get a little bit of success and it's all you?
It's all me, baby.
We do have an affiliate agreement with TradePro, so there's a link down in the description you can click to check out their products and offerings. Dan and I have both been taking their courses.
Oh, yeah.
They've been game-changing, I think is the word to use.
Mm-hmm.
To finally be able to look at these charts and then actually make some semblance of them and inform your investing decisions. Even if you're not wanting to trade on a regular basis like we do, if you're wanting to do investing, their courses can help you pick better entry points and then also show you when maybe it's time to secure some profits.
Yes.
We do get a commission every time you sign up through through that affiliate link. So it's a great way to support the show if you want to help us out too and help yourself out in trading.
Yeah.
If you listen to the progress that Dan and I have been making since we started taking these classes, it's night and day different. You should be able to just hear it from the way our plans have been, or our skills have been growing as we continue doing this show.
Oh, yeah. Love the Trade Pro.
We'll have that link in the episode description for anybody who wants to check it out.
Yeah, and if you need more confirmation, you can listen to any of our Trade Pro interviews.
Oh, yes.
Including this upcoming month in review with George Papazov. Listen to those folks, and they clearly know what they're doing. And they do it for a living.
Well,
all right, yeah. Let's talk about some crypto, Kyle. I have a couple big stories.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Look at the news. What do you see? The cult of cryptocurrency. I know you're greedy. I know you need. You need that Bitcoin, either NFT. Cryptocurrency. The first one that I thought was very intriguing is Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey has continued to reject Ethereum as a viable investment or altcoin.
Does it say why? Because everything I've been learning about crypto makes Ethereum look like the best one. It's got so many uses, so many things build off of it.
Yeah, and this is what's crazy, is Twitter has already released 140 NTFs on the Ethereum platform.
Really?
Like, yeah, Twitter, the company, is releasing NTFs using Ethereum.
Huh.
A Twitter user speculated it'd only be a matter of time before Dorsey invested in Ether, which he actually tweeted back, no. He said he doesn't believe Ethereum is worth putting money in, and in fact, he instead, and this is a theme, Kyle. Both my stories follow a theme. He responded to a tweet that said Dogecoin was the biggest threat to Ethereum. Dorsey replied, "No, that hamster coin was the biggest threat. Was a bigger threat." As soon as he tweeted about this meme coin, because it's the hamster coin.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
It's built on the Binance Smart Chain. It has no unique cases, no groundbreaking technology. Doesn't support the smart contracts like Alex Greengard was talking about.
Right.
It doesn't have the security of decentralization. Doesn't have anything going for it other than Jack Dorsey tweeted his endorsement, which caused the price of Hamstercoin to grow. It shot up 250% in a matter of hours after he tweeted it.
Wow. What do you think he owns?
How much Hamstercoin do you think Jack fucking had and sold?
Do you think he had it, or somebody he knows had it?
I think it's a pump and dump.
Yeah,
I don't know who had it. I think he pumped and somebody dumped it. He pumped it, they dumped it.
Yeah, you mentioned, yeah. Is your other story the one about the
other pump
group,
and dump
getting in trouble? Yeah, I wanted to hear more about that. I was laughing at that story.
Yeah. As I said, both my stories follow that pump and dump theme. So there were these, I think they're like esports gamers.
Okay.
They're the FAZE, the FaZe Clan. Well, they've all been dropped or suspended because they started using their esports influencer grasp, the platform, to promote some altcoins that they were given access to before the public, in order to advertise them.
Uh-huh.
And then the moment they went public, they all dumped them at huge gains. One of them was called a BEP 20 token, also built on the Binance Smart Chain, just like fucking hamster coin. I don't know what Binance Smart Chain is, but it sounds pretty shady.
Right.
They actually made a promotional video promising that this is an altcoin that redistributes wealth to both holders and to both hodlers and charities. It was a Save the Kids promotional video they made.
Right.
Like, so they were actually hawking this fucking altcoin called Save the Children. two of them. Wow. The BEP20. And yeah. Anyway, the thing that really cracked me up the most was when one of the guys was asked for comment. I want you all to know that I had no ill intent promoting any crypto altcoins. I honestly and naively thought we all had a chance to win, which just isn't the case. I didn't vet any of this with my team, and now I know I should have. I'm just very passionate about the crypto space. It's extremely complicated, and I still have a lot to learn, and I caution everyone to look closely before investing. Yeah, so, you know, Kyle, he was just trying to be a good trader. He thought that's how it worked. Buy low, sell high.
Well, I mean, if you're following Elon Musk and, I guess, Jack Dorsey now.
Jack Dorsey. Yeah.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. Yeah, they...
He's just not good at it.
Right? They didn't do it to a big enough scale to get away with it.
Or they didn't separate themselves enough from it. If his mom sold the coin, he might have done all right.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Oh, those are my big crypto stories.
Yeah, I was just reading your stories. I don't have anything to contribute this week.
All right, so until next time, folks, happy trades. Oh, yeah, like, subscribe, share, whatever.
Yeah, all that stuff. All right. Later. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.